Out of the Park Developments is proud to announce Out of the Park Baseball 19, the newest sports strategy game from the award-winning Out of the Park Baseball franchise, will be officially released on March 22nd, 2018 on PC and Mac, but you can pre-order it today to get a 10% discount plus 3 days of early access. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is purpose-built for fans of the series, including loads of new features and improvements. Brand new 3D visuals and player animations make games come alive like never before. Ultra-realistic AI powers the best in-game and season-long behavior, and a brand new tournament mode lets you pit any teams from any time throughout the history of baseball against others in completely customizable brackets, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. So go to ootpdevelopments.com today to pre-order Out of the Park Baseball 19 for just $35.99, a 10% discount off the full retail price, plus you get that 3 days of early access. So make your move today with Out of the Park Baseball 19. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
All right, here we are. We're on to a new year of sports gaming. A couple games have already released or are doing so imminently, and we turn our attention on this episode of the Press Row Podcast to look ahead at 2018 with a discussion on the most anticipated games of the year. I'm your host, Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre. To introduce our fantastic panel for this episode, I'm going to go first to Richard Grisham of Out of the Park Developments and hit the pass. Rich, how are you feeling about the Super Bowl? Your Eagles are there. They're going to take on the Patriots. Unfortunately, Rich, Patriots have a knack of ripping the hearts out of the fans of their opponents, so I'm worried for you. I'm a little bit worried, I have to say that. But also, what have you been doing gaming-wise lately? Where's your time been going?
Well, when it comes to the Super Bowl, I got to tell you, Brian, I'm not used to this. This is not a thing that happens. It's really happened twice in my life, and once I was a little kid, and I sort of knew what was going on, but it wasn't what it was. And it happened, obviously, about 14 years ago, and it was exciting. But with that game,
The Patriots did it to you there, too.
They did, and that also was a team that was really good but also really frustrating. Like, Andy Reid was Andy Reid, and Donovan McNabb, who was a great quarterback, but Donovan McNabb would regularly, and I'm not talking the Super Bowl, would regularly do things that would just frustrate you. That was a great team back then, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing like this team this year. You know, not to be whatever, watching this team over the course of this year, the ups and downs, the breakout of Carson Wentz, the incredible run, and then the injury, and then to Wentz and to all the other players, and then to see them, you know, heading into the playoffs looking like they were going to be an easy out. You know, people were saying they wanted the Eagles, to see them hold on and beat the Falcons, but then to see what they did in the NFC Championship, I've never experienced a game like that. There's never been an Eagles game in a major championship game where they have won like that. And for most of that game, especially the second half, it was just this strange feeling of happiness and shock and awe. And I'm just so happy that they were able to do that, because these things don't happen to this franchise. So I'm just really happy, really, really happy. The Super Bowl is great. I'm excited. I feel good about it. I'm not saying I'm saying they're going to walk in and whip the Patriots or anything, but just this team overall is an amazing. They've overcome a lot. They play well. They're not frustrating. Like, Doug Peterson is a good coach who manages the game well. He respects and appreciates time of possession. When things aren't going well, he doesn't stubbornly stick to the same thing. He adjusts. I'm just thrilled. I'm over the moon. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. And yes, if they win the Super Bowl, it'll be an amazing feeling. But no matter what this team has accomplished this year as a fan, it's just been an amazing ride. I'm just super happy. That's all I can say. Super happy.
Well, I understand that, Rich. And you're coming off a national championship also with Alabama as a fan there. So.
And look, I love Alabama. I always have. I was born there. Both my parents are alumni. But they've won now 6 national championships, you know, recently, and 13 overall. Like, it's awesome when they win. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But it's when your team wins championship after championship, it's great, but it doesn't have the same impact, right? This Eagles team, obviously, as everybody knows, has never won a Super Bowl. So if they can pull this off, it'll validate those 40 years of being a fan and suffering through so many agonizing defeats. It's so different. So different because they've never won it. And, you know, it's a local team and I go to the games and I it's just a different thing. You know, Brian, you're a Seahawks fan. You've poured your whole life into it. That feeling you had when they finally broke through and won that Super Bowl as a fan, it's hard to compare that feeling.
No, it was amazing. It was it was very much long term, like throughout the summer. It was just like you're riding on a high. And it's just almost all a sense of relief also, because for the longest time I thought this just isn't going to happen in my lifetime. You know, you get that
right.
feeling. And you're like, why? You know, there
yes.
goes another year. There goes another year of my life. There goes another year. You know, and oh, rebuilding. You know, it's yep. just it's very. And then it's, you know, we're isolated up here. And people think we're in like South Alaska. So it was, yeah, you break through like that. It's an incredible feeling. So we'll see how that goes. We'll talk more about it next week, Rich. We still got, you know, over a week until the Super Bowl actually happens. What about your thoughts on the Pro Bowl, Rich? Who's going to take it? Just kidding.
I'm more concerned about the East-West Shrine game.
Yeah,
when it comes to games, I continue to love my NBA 2K18, my GM. I just keep playing it whenever I can. It's great, great, great. I love the fact that I'm screaming at my assistant GM for making a trade without me knowing about it. I love the fact that Marcin Gortat is freaking out on me in the weight room because he thinks he's not going to get, not going to be in the starting lineup. I love the fact that I got the sliders set to where every game I play is fun and exciting, and I just have it set right. I just have a blast. I am so happy with my GM and NBA 2K18 once I made those adjustments in game that Desire told me to do. So I just play that whenever I can. And I'm also getting near the end of Golf Story on the Switch, which continues to just be a wonderful, magical experience that if you have a Switch and you have any fondness at all for any like the Mario Golf games or you know, anything like that at all, I cannot recommend it enough. So those are the two games that I continue to play whenever possible. They're just great, 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 great games.
Do you got your TV hooked up, your 4K TV yet?
Not yet.
Rich!
I'm not. Well, again, I need a guy who can hang televisions on brackets on walls. I need a guy who knows how to do that. There's a lot of things in life, Brian Weedye, that I can do well, but there's a lot more that I can't. And I don't like to do things that I can't do well when it involves large televisions and electronics and drilling into walls and stuff. That makes me nervous. I prefer professionals to do that.
I wasn't comfortable with that at first. Then I taught myself, and now I feel like I'm an expert at it somehow. So it's one of the few things I can do. I've gotten more handy once I bought a house and started doing things. I actually started to enjoy it. But yeah, I have too much time on my hands anyway to do that kind of stuff. So like, I can't fault you for that. You're always on the road. All right. Next, TJ Lowerman, That Sports Gamer. Been a little while, I think, since I've had you to talk with on here. How you been?
Good. I did successfully hang a picture a couple weeks ago. It's perfectly level. It's unbelievable. Rich, if you really need me, just give me a call and I'll tell you to go to Craigslist and just like put up a man searching for man to hang up a TV.
It's a man.
I mean, it could be a gal. It's fine.
A guy.
Man,
or a
girl.
Gal.
It's okay. Yeah. You know, whatever. Just someone who can drill holes without, you know, drill holes and hang stuff up and then not walk away without everything being done.
And organize your cords.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. So, TJ, what have you been playing lately?
Hey, Brian. I've been playing a lot of FIFA. I've been getting back into that a little bit, mainly Ultimate Team, building out my Bundesliga squad. I think I have all the best golds or like the best base cards, so I'm pretty happy with that team right now. I've also been jumping back into some Madden with all their Team of the Year content coming out. I may or may not be playing Team of the Year solos right now as we're having this conversation because they expire Monday, so I've got to get them in before time's up. And other than that, you know, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds still kicking. New map is trash. So be happy that you don't have it. on the Xbox. Other than that, just gearing up for Out of the Park to come out.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
There is that game. little known fact, there's going to be a lot of baseball games this year. So
yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
That makes me very excited for this year. Some people would say I am very anticipatory of these baseball games.
Yeah, some people would. Not many, but some. All right, we also got back with us for this episode, we got Daniel Basil, also known, or maybe mostly known as Uber YouTuber. How you been, man?
I've been well. Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be back on the show. Pretty hyped right now because I just got my first victory in UFC 3, playing that on EA Access.
Yeah.
On the Xbox One, and it was an epic, epic battle between Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. I was Nate, and this fight, it went three rounds, and it virtually had, it was the gauntlet. It had everything in it. There were submission attempts. There were knockdowns. We had some great ground and pound action going on, just some great stand-up striking and kicks and I mean, it was just everything, and I came out on top, which doesn't happen too often. They don't call me the world's okayest gamer for nothing. So I was pretty hyped. And other than that, I've been playing still been playing NBA Live a lot with all my friends, doing mostly live runs and stuff. Been enjoying that a ton. And then other than that, I think the only other game that's really swept me off my feet is Fortnite. I finally succumbed to Fortnite. Everybody's been telling me to play it, and I finally did it, and now I'm hooked. I can't stop. So that's my non-sports game that I've been playing. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, always. Mills Gaming TV is our final panelist on this episode. Mills, you've been streaming. What you been doing?
I mean, everything. Yeah. We'll go down the quick list. I started playing Darkest Dungeon on the Switch. It is a Steam kind of dungeon grindy game that I really love. So we got it on the Switch last week and have been playing it nonstop. I carry it anywhere I can with me. Madden on stream, obviously. My shooter has changed. I was like Uber YouTuber. I was going with Fortnite for a while, and I ended up going back to Star Wars Battlefront 2. And I'm having a real fun time with it. I think it's the loot box thing is kind of over. There's no pay to win anymore. You literally can't put money into the game right now. Mm. And they're coming out with like progression upgrades in, I think, a couple of weeks. They just put a blog out on it. So I'm very happy about that. And then, of course, tonight, as you're hearing this, you're already playing it. Monster Hunter World comes out, and that will take up my life for a while. So.
Take up your life, huh?
That's another lot like Destiny, all the other games where you do the same thing over and over and get different loot. Diablo, all those games. The games that make you want to just continuously get loot over and over and over again. So, yeah, that's going to be one of the things that I do. And I started, by the way, this is a Rich Grisham special. I started to be a pro at NHL, and I'm having the time of my life with it.
Nice.
Yeah, got drafted number one overall to your New Jersey Devils as an offensive defenseman.
Nice. Who's your defensive partner? Andy Green?
Vatanen. No, Vatanen is on the
first. Oh, so you must so you got the updated rosters because he came in a trade this year. Nice.
Yeah, we just started it, and actually I'm doing it on stream. We're in the preseason still trying to stick with the team early on. I think I'm a 69 overall, but I'm playing
nice.
Well.
Nice.
We're playing on full sim mode, superstar nice. You know, try to keep it realistic for us. Hoping not to get to the AHL. Don't know yet. We'll update later.
Yeah, you should make it as like the sixth defenseman. They don't have a lot of good defensemen.
Yeah, just to lace it up, I'd be happy.
Right. Real quick, Pasta. Sorry to interrupt. No. Mills, what sports games, if any, do you play on the Switch?
On the Switch, none.
Okay. Except Golf Story, but
yeah, Golf Story, yeah,
obviously. I play that.
But other than that, I don't. I was just curious if you did. Oh, have the Switch too, Uber?
Yeah, I do. You know what? I do play NBA 2K on that.
How is that?
It's good. I mean, it's good. It's definitely great. It's a great basketball game that you can play on the bus or on the train, right? I mean, it's pretty impressive, really. I also have it on PS4, so when I'm at home,
yeah,
you know, I do prefer playing it, you know, on the PS4. But when I'm, you know, when I'm on the road or traveling, it is great to get that basketball fix in. And I have a my GM career going on the Switch, so it's all offline, and I'm having a blast with it.
Cool. I can't see me playing sports games on the Switch that much because of the way I play sports games.
Yeah.
Because of the length of time it takes me to play a franchise game, I can't imagine. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to play a franchise game on a commute with 9-minute quarters with no runoff. It takes me 45 minutes to do it. So.
Oh, dude, you're doing it wrong, man. You set it to 12-minute quarters and simulate to, you know, around somewhere 3-4 minutes into the third period, and then you go from there.
Well, yeah. Your MLB The Show way, like, for me, sports games on the Switch would be like Mario Tennis Aces coming out this year, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. I was just curious. Thanks, dude. Sorry, Brian.
No, Rich, you're always free to jump in. Mills, give me some of your quick thoughts on UFC. I know you've played a lot of it already.
Yeah, I've as of now, I think I've put probably 8 hours into it. Maybe actually, no, it's probably been a little bit more than that. It's so much better than 2. The animations are smoother. I'm playing on the Xbox One X, so I do have that extra. There's a setting for frame rate or resolution. We're playing it on frame rate. Mm-hmm. There is no constant spam now. They put in a ton of combos. So last year, you could kind of create your own combos and just constantly spam jabs. Now, if you do it and you don't hit the correct combo, you'll get a break in the back and forth. So that's a huge upgrade, especially for online play. The career mode, my God, we'll get into this on a later because there's so much in it. The career mode is completely overhauled, and if you are a Be A Pro, Superstar, anything, any of those career mode-centric players, and you like the UFC, this game is worth $60 for the career mode alone. Hmm. That's how good it is now.
Well, wow. That's exciting. That's good to hear. Because they wanted to bring in the, you know, the obviously McGregor on the cover, kind of representing the trash talk and rivalries and fight promotion end of things that had been missing, which is a very kind of stale experience in the past, where you'd fight, you'd train, but there was really no emotion in it. And I think that's what they tried to inject in there this year.
Well, and constantly this year, you have choices on how you're going to spend your time. Mm-hmm. So you get 100 points for every week of camp before a fight. And you can either promote with different types of promotions. You can train. You learn moves from whatever gym you decide to train at for that camp. So you start out with very few moves, and you start to learn, like, if you're in a wrestling gym, you'll learn takedowns, or you'll learn wrestling get-ups from the ground, stuff like that. If you're at a kickboxing gym, you'll learn roundhouses, stuff like that. So you can also – there's also fitness to be involved. There's injuries. You can injure yourself by training too much. There's a lot of RPG elements in the career mode now, which I like. And then you can also – there's a social media aspect and press conferences where you make decisions and choices whether you're going to be like a badass or you're going to be just a good guy and say, oh yeah, I love the fight, and while Connor's sitting there yelling at you to go get him a coffee or something. So you have these options that kind of keep you involved back and forth, and the whole time on your feed at the top of the screen you get like these, like, people are tweeting you, fans are tweeting you, or other fighters are tweeting at you, capping the whole time. So it's cool. I do think that after playing through it a couple times, people would be, you know, you can only play through it so many times. Mm-hmm. to become the goal is to become the greatest of all time. And there's very set records to do that. But there are options involved in it to where you for some of the training, if you fail a training, you can try it again. But you also have the option of continuing. So you can set rules for yourself to say, I'm not going to replay any of the trainings, so I could be wasting training points as I go, or I'm not going to replay a fight, so I could be wasting fight, like I could be losing. And there's a longevity, so every time you lose like 10% out of 100 for your longevity. So you could shorten your career by taking large punches in the ring. Again, just so deep. I mean, it could almost be an episode on its own. for how deep the career mode is.
I kind of like how you could I started it last night. You can this is just a minor little thing, but I love those little things in these games. You could set your Twitter handle. You can actually pick your Twitter handle. It's not just randomly your character's name. You can actually put whatever you want. It's kind of neat.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll be getting into that because that's definitely a compelling mode there. And then the game, there's a lot to it this year and a lot of improvements they made, not even just for the release, but after the beta, the stuff that we have to assess over time here. So we'll be getting into more UFC probably next week.
Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here with a quick announcement. Franchise Hockey Manager 4, the highest rated and best selling version of Franchise Hockey Manager ever, is on sale now for the NHL All-Star Game. Save a big ol' 50% on Franchise Hockey Manager 4 on the PC and the Mac, on sale for just $19.99. See what all the fuss is about, including 24 playable leagues, an entire playable history of the NHL, these fantastic new historical challenges for every NHL franchise, and tons more. Act now. The All-Star Game sale lasts only from now through February 2nd. Check it out, Franchise Hockey Manager 4 on Steam, or just go to ootpdevelopments.com and check it out there.
Let's get one news item out of the way here before we get on to going through our most anticipated game lists. I think this is a really big deal. So Xbox Game Pass, the subscription service on Xbox One, is going to start offering new Microsoft published games as part of its subscription. So we've talked numerous occasions, Rich, about this supposed subscription-based future that the likes of EA would hope to get into. And we've already seen kind of the beginnings of that with Game Pass and, of course, EA Access. But I don't think we anticipated this happening this soon. I was surprised also that they didn't have a higher price tier for it. It's still just going to be the $10 a month. That's something I imagine with EA Access, given the number of games that EA puts out every year and their licensing agreements they have to consider. I think they would have to raise their prices to account for that. But what was your reaction to this news, Rich? Because I know you're a big fan of Game Pass already, but and you know, Microsoft doesn't have the strongest lineup of games coming, but you look at the likes of Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3, that's a critical one for me. Big fan of the original Crackdown. State of Decay 2, there's going to be Forza Horizon 4, of course, another one that we love. And entries eventually in the Halo and Gears of War franchises. Those are all going to be included in the $10 a month subscription. It's going to be like you own those games, Rich. What are your thoughts on what's happening here and maybe what it means for the future of the industry?
So you and I have had a brief discussion about this on Twitter, but other than that, nothing. How, Brian, how would you predict that I would feel about this?
Oh, you love most everything, Rich.
I love it. Yeah. It, Brian, you said we knew it was going to happen. We've been talking about this happening, but it's more surprising, I guess, how quickly it keeps happening. And I love it. Brian, this is so good. I already love the Xbox One Games Pass because you get so much for your money. You get hundreds of games of every single type possible. And you get one-click access to them. I use it regularly. And now, on top of that, you're getting all of the new games, day and date, digital, full games, all of the big new Microsoft games. That's even though I don't even, Brian, I don't even care about any of those games except for Forza, which I would be buying anyway. So on me, they're going to be losing money, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that if you love this option that you can get it. I understand how a bunch of people hate it. Or should I say, I understand that they hate it, but I don't understand how anybody could, because you don't have to buy it. You can, if you are using it and then you don't like it, you just cancel. It's like $10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the world that I want to live in, where I can, with pressing the button on one machine, play any game by anybody ever made. This is a lot closer to that goal, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm the anomaly in that I'm still paying it, and I will actually pay less because I won't have to buy any of the Forza games, which come out once a year every year. So I think it's fantastic. As a consumer, as a business, I presume it's a good business decision, because I don't think they would be doing it if it weren't. they certainly help make their brand more appealing to people. You know, now not only do they own the service, but they own key IP on the service, because things like Halo and Gears of War are critical to Microsoft and the Xbox brand. So, man, I love it. Love, love, love it. I'm already on board. So, you know, they lost the Forza sale from me. Other than that, you know, it's great.
I don't know how many people are choosing between PlayStation 4 and Xbox One right now, but I think it's really hard to make an argument that you shouldn't choose the Xbox One when you say you buy the console and you don't really have to buy any games with it.
Subscribe. Because EA Access give you so much.
Yep, both of them. So much, and even new games is pretty remarkable. TJ, curious your thoughts on subscriptions, and if you would buy into like an EA, because you buy most of the EA games, an EA Access subscription that included all the new sports games. What would you pay for something like that a month? Would you pay for something like that a month?
Yeah, I would definitely do that on the PlayStation, not on the Xbox. This generation I've kind of put the Xbox, it's actually at my parents' house now, so if I want to play on my lunch break, I can get some in. And literally the only thing I play on that is still Forza Horizon 2 and NBA Jam Tournament. NBA Jam On Fire Edition is part of the backwards compatibility thing.
That's a legit game right there.
So those are like the two games I still play on Xbox. If I was still playing on Xbox, I would probably do this. But my problem is, the reason I don't play on Xbox is because I don't really love any of the Microsoft first party stuff. And that will be now the big thing, is getting Sea of Thieves and Crackdown and all that stuff. So for me, it wouldn't really be my thing.
Crackdown's never coming out, by the way, TJ.
I mean, probably not. But Terry Crews says it's coming out, and I believe in Terry Crews. but yeah, I loved Season Ticket back in the day on on PS2. Was it? Yeah, it was PS2, right?
360 PS3, maybe? Early days? I don't know.
I don't remember. One of those.
My memory's going.
And I did have I had EA Access for, I think I had it for like a year. And then when that expired and my gold expired, I was like, I'm not really playing this thing anymore. So kind of backed out of all those. But yeah, if there was EA Access with all the games on PlayStation, I would gladly pay $10 a month for that. Hopefully, if I buy the year, I get it for like $8.99 a month. That'd be better. But yeah, I think $10 a month, especially for EA games and the way I play, I'd be paying for two and getting a lot free. So I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Uber, now you play a lot of the mobile games, and they don't, you know, they're not subscription based, but they are kind of in that they don't re-release, they update constantly. How do you think about like a future where that model eventually makes it to the consoles, but with maybe a subscription on top of it instead?
I absolutely love the idea of that, and I would definitely subscribe. But it's kind of like, how much can you charge for the service like that? I think like $10 a month is right in that sweet spot. Now, I personally would probably pay up to, I don't know, $180 a year, I guess. Oh, you know, the cost of three games maybe. But that's me, and I buy all the sports games just like you guys, right? For us, the value would still be in that. But I don't know, for the general consumer who may only, you know, buy Madden every year, if... You know, you charge more than $10 a month if people would jump on board with that, you know, to make that extra investment to spend basically commit to buying three of those EA sports games a year, for example. I think $10 a month is probably as much as they could charge. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm all on board, and I would pay more even because I buy those games anyways. But I found myself in a curious position today, because Sea of Thieves, they have the beta going on right now, and it's only for people who pre-ordered the game and or signed up for one of those exclusive clubs in November, you know, those people are able to play the beta. Now, I found out that Sea of Thieves is going to be part of this subscription. I was going to pre-order it just in order to play the beta, but now I'm like, maybe not, because I'm going to be able to get it in the subscription. Mm-hmm. So I held off on the pre-order. So I guess if we went down this road of subscription-based service across the board, it would absolutely kill pre-orders, right? As well as your GameStops of the world and, you know, physical copies of games.
That's why I thought it was surprising that this was happening now, because retail partnerships are still important. You know, it's still important to have your games prominently displayed in a GameStop or in have them in Walmarts or wherever it might be, that the trade-off is they're going to give those stores the ability to sell subscription cards, essentially, is what it's going to be. And so they're hoping that's going to make up for it. And I think, you know, it's just the sign of the times of where retail is going now, is that it's not going to last forever that way.
Brian, I have a question.
Yeah.
In this, do you still get access to the games on PC that come out for both?
I think you would. I think, as far as I know, because everything that Xbox puts out now is
like cross-buy or whatever they call it.
Yeah, whatever, cross-own, cross-play, I don't know which one it is. But, I think most, if not at least all of Microsoft's are, right? You buy it on one, you play it on both.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons I'm excited for Forza, is because now that I actually have my Xbox at my parents' at lunch, I can play there, I can play a little bit there, but then when I come home, I can just play my PC.
So. Yeah.
That's a nice little bonus if you get that service.
Yeah, a lot of flexibility, and so I think that's interesting. And as far as the price, yeah, I think everything is compared now to Netflix as far as what people are comfortable paying for the value. And you look at Netflix, which they recently raised their price. What is it? The base one might be $11.99 a month.
I think it's 11 or 12 now. Yeah.
Yeah, and the one with 4K is $13.99. So you're probably looking in that range. And yeah, like Uber said, if you're talking about three games, that's I believe that comes out to $15 a month. If they're month to month, and they'd probably have a longer. You know, a year-long subscription where you save money on that. But yeah, when I was thinking about it, I was placing it in that same kind of $12.99 to $15.99 a month range that I would expect. But maybe they come in lower. I don't know. I'm sure they have the data on how many games their consumers buy, how many buy multiple games, and. You know, compare that to how much are they going to make on the subscription service versus how much are they going to lose from the people who buy multiple games. That's data they just, you know, numbers they're going to have to crunch. Mills, what's some of your thoughts on the idea of this Xbox Game Pass with the new games and what it could mean for, like, an EA Access down the line?
Well, remember, one of the numbers they're going to crunch in this whole thing is how many people are going to play your game and then put money into your game because they have access to it when they wouldn't have bought it before. Mm. So I love the idea. I love the idea not only from a gamer's perspective, but I also love it business-wise for the developers. I think it's win-win on both sides as long as they respect the fact that, hey, we're not going to make all of this content like paywalled. Here, we're going to give you this game, but then here's the DLC. Like Destiny tried to do this here. They tried to say all the stuff that was unlocked before the second expansion came out got locked behind the paywall of having to get the expansion. I think that is a more normal thing than we may be ready for. Sports gaming-wise, what comes with the subscription? So obviously you would still be paying for Ultimate Team, but like, is there a franchise part of the subscription? How would a sports subscription work? Specifically for the Microsoft one, I'm getting it day one because I was getting Sea of Thieves anyway. I would get Crackdown. I already buy Forts anyway. I mean, it's going to affect my tax write-off at the end of the year. But other than that, I love the idea of what they're doing with Microsoft. I'm ecstatic that it's $10. And don't worry, Rich, you'll be able to support Forza after you buy, after you get this Game Pass, because don't forget you need a car pass and a VIP as well for both of those.
You know, I don't get those. And I play lots of Forza and Forza Horizon, and I do not. I mean, I do for Forza Horizon typically buy the DLC packs. Like, I bought both the Winter or the Blizzard Mountain or whatever it was, and I bought the Hot Wheels and enjoyed both of those immensely. But I don't don't buy the VIP pass for the normal Forza or any of the other stuff.
Gotcha. You see, I purchased those, so even with the Game Pass is going to afford me the initial cost of the game, but I'm still going to put money in and support the developers that I believe in. So I love it. I think it's a great idea overall, and I think Rich, this podcast I know called it, but I think Rich has been talking about this for, what, years? Like, this is where it's going. So, yeah, this is amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think EA is probably not as – that's not going to happen as soon as Xbox did with theirs. But I think first thing EA has to do is get access onto the PS4, which they kind of – alluded to happening maybe this year. So I that's the first step. I don't think they would do all this for just one console. So yep, that's definitely an interesting development. So let's move on now to the main topic for the show. It's the most anticipated sports games of 2018. We're going to go through our top five lists. All of us have a list of their games, and we're going to count them down. That's the way it works, I think, typically. When you do this. So let's start. This can be any reasons you want. Could go off the wall. We're going to see. We got some interesting characters on the show tonight. We'll see what happens. Let's start with Rich Grisham. Give me your number five.
So unless I am misinformed, there are no rules for this per se, other than the rules that we decided to create for ourselves, correct?
We throw the rules out the window, Rich.
Good.
That's a wild card incoming.
I am so excited right now because I also went crazy with my number five. I cannot wait to hear what Rich says.
Okay. So I am number five on my list, and we're counting down. Like, so number one is the most anticipated, obviously.
That
so number five. Number five is the as yet unannounced but hopefully coming NBA Jam game that we get this year.
I thought that might come up tonight. Yeah, I thought that might come up.
That's number five because, you know, it's hard to put a game that doesn't exist on a list, but – on the other hand, I hope it does, and there's obviously enough smoke, and when there's smoke, there's fire, so I hope that that is something that happens this year.
What would you like to see out of that, Rich? Just a remake, or just a just not a remake, although I guess you could wish for a remake, but just kind of a you know, an HD version of the original, which I think is kind of what they were hinting at.
I mean, if I were the designer, I would want it to be a lot more like the look. I would want it to look and play a lot more like the older game than something new, because I think that's just that's the appeal. And we've also had more realistic games like this, you know, in this style later on, you know, which were amazing. To me, NBA Jam really is the sprites. It's the big head mode. It's the, you know, the not, you know, perfectly animated 60 frames a second kind of thing. So if that's the way that I would lean. Now, I'm not saying I automatically would dislike it if they take it and they upgrade it and they make it all sorts of HD and more lifelike or whatever. But I think a really smooth version of that running on today's modern hardware would be the direction I would go if it were up to me.
All right. Next up, TJ, I'm interested to hear what you've gone with here at number five.
Well, first, obviously, I have an honorable mention out of the Park Baseball 19. Get your pre-orders in now.
Of course.
I'm excited for that. Didn't want to put it on my list because, you know, there's ethics and stuff, but sure. I'll just promote it before we get into the list. Number five. Are you ready for this one? It's very, this might be a dramatic choice, but my number five choice is all of the major licensed sports games, your Maddens, your FIFAs, your NFL, your NHLs and everything. Now, I put them all in one group.
Wow. You're getting them out of the way early, all right.
High tech.
I want to get all these out because while I'm very excited that all these games are coming out, you know, we've had these games for 25, 30 years now. We pretty much know what the next one's going to be. They might add something cool like a long shot or, you know, Journey 3 probably on the way. So I'm not super excited for that kind of stuff, but of course I am excited for them all to come. I will buy most of them and I will be very happy. But that means there are four games on this list that I'm more excited for, which actually gets me excited to think about that.
Sure. I definitely understand that. That was a consideration I had in some of my placement on this list as well. I'll go with my number five. Now we're going to snake through this a little bit. So I'll go with my number five now. NBA Live 19 is my number five. I think they really nailed it with the career mode in the one. Now they have the opportunity to flesh the game out and work on the franchise mode and add the features that are needed. And it's not going to catch NBA 2K in that area this year either. But I think they have a lot of potential to do something special with it there, because they made a game that was definitely more accessible, arguably more fun, but it just doesn't really stand up next to the competition quite yet. This could be the year where that happens. I think just the potential of that is what put it on the list for me, because it's a lot more interesting to me to think of something that could become really good or great than something that's already completely expect to be in that level. So that's my number five. Next, Uber YouTuber, your number five.
All right, so my number five is going to be Madden 19. I'm really, really excited to see what long shot 2 is going to be like, or whatever they're going to call that. But I thought they did a phenomenal job with that last year, so I'm really excited for that. I also enjoyed Mud Squats quite a bit. I had some of the most fun playing with my friends this year playing Mud Squats, and I don't know how many people truly played it, but there were so many moments where we just had a blast. I mean, laughing and all, you know, we do silly stuff happen on the field. I just have really fond memories. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that, if they are going to add onto that. And Madden 19, I'm really they're just, you know, they keep making it better every year, and that's my number five this year for sure.
All right, Mills, we're on. Let's start your list here. Number five.
So my number five, I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to put two games here. One's really coming out, and one is one that I hope comes out at some point. The one that is coming out is the aforementioned Mario Tennis Aces. The Mario sports games are always some of my favorite things to continuously play. I still play Mario Golf on my 3DS to this day. Cannot wait for Tennis Aces to come out. For me, I hope that Mutant Hockey League comes out at some point. The team that's doing Mutant Football League. Yeah, I want to make sure I always want to call it the old name. Mutant Football League is fun. It has some depth to it in a franchise mode, a season mode.
It's going to have a franchise mode.
Yes, it's going to have a franchise mode eventually. Yeah. Yep, exactly. It just came out on consoles. I hope they can do that to Mutant Hockey League. I hope they're that. I think the word is that if Mutant Football League is successful enough, they're going to bring hockey. So that's my hope that comes out. But both of those games would be perfect for my 2018 and my number five spot.
All right, let's go with your number four, Mills.
My number four is MLB The Show. And because of they had the most content for their card collecting mode, Diamond Dynasty, of any of the card collecting modes. It was a banner year for their content. Their gameplay, while high level, had some issues with the hitting engine. So, and after playing through the alpha, which obviously can only talk so much about, but they took 5 minutes on a live stream to talk about the alpha and what they got feedback-wise out of it. that to me shows a willingness to reconnect with the community. So I'm excited for that reconnection to the community and having the community be able to talk to them and give proper feedback. While at the same time, I know that there's got to be some franchise upgrades coming because franchise mode was essentially untouched last year. And just getting further and further, I think this is going to be the third year of the three-year plan. TJ can correct me if I'm wrong. This upcoming year will be the third year of their new Diamond Dynasty mode. So I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see what they do with that.
All right.
I believe you are correct.
Yep. Uber YouTuber, you're number four.
My number four is actually going to be Mario Tennis Aces as well. I'm looking forward to that. I love my Switch. I love all the Nintendo exclusive games. I still play Mario Kart quite a bit with my son. And I like tennis games. I miss a good tennis game. And so I'm pretty excited to see what this is going to be like. We haven't seen too much of it yet, obviously, but you just know it's going to be good, right? It's Nintendo. They're going to knock it out of the park. It's going to be phenomenal. And it'll be a game I'll buy on day one for sure. And I'll probably have a ton of fun playing it with my son. So that's my number four most anticipated sports game.
Yeah, no shortage of tennis games this year. And that's actually what I have slotted into my number four. But it's Tennis World Tour. We've had since 2012 without a tennis game on consoles. We have two at least on the 360 on the Xbox One and PS4, and AO Tennis, which already released in Australia and New Zealand, is apparently a disaster. So Tennis World Tour is what I'm going to pin my hopes on this year, being something fresh and hopefully strong quality to it. It's got some developers that have a history of working on some good tennis games, so I think there's some promise there for that, and I'm excited to see what they turn out there.
When does that release, by the way?
Spring? I don't think it has a set release date. It's going to be probably April or May.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that, too. I mean, I love me a good tennis game, and if it's a sim experience, I'm all on board, too, but...
Yep. That's the idea. So that's hopefully, you know, they've had some time to work on it, and because it seems like the other one, AO Tennis, was rushed out to be out in time for the Australian Open, and hopefully they've improved that by the time they release it worldwide. So we'll see, but it'd be good to have options either way. TJ, you're number four.
Now let me tell you something, Brian.
Okay.
If you would have asked me last week, if you'd have been like, hey, we're doing an episode of Press Row Podcast, I want to know the top five games you are absolutely least interested in 2018. Mm. This is probably my number one, maybe my number two.
Wow. I have to find out what changed here. You got to tell us.
But now, after reading the great Sumit Sarkar's piece over at Polygon, I am actually a little bit excited.
Oh, no.
For RBI 18.
No, don't do this, TJ. Why are you doing this?
Because look,
kick him off the podcast right now. Look, like I'm not taking this anymore.
I played RBI 14 and 15, and I was like, well, they just stole my money. This was ridiculous. I don't know why I did this. And then did not buy the next games. And you know what? That series could have gone on and on till the end of eternity, and I would never buy another game if they kept putting them out this way. Seeing that they decided to take it away from the devs they had, bring it into MLB Advanced Media to develop this, and kind of, you know, they have a little bit of a core, but now build it out, add franchise mode and some other stuff. Kind of excited that maybe this grows into something, because I feel like the path that RBI Baseball was on a path of never growing, just kind of little baby increases.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm still not sure if batting gloves are in the game. I will have to check. I saw a screenshot that had them, so I'm not 100% sure if they're in this year. But now I think, you know, if they're serious about this and they can grow this, maybe this has become something that people actually want to play. Ballsy move raising the price by $10 on console.
You're not kidding with that. To go from, what was it, 3 or 4 years of RBI baseball, where pretty much the consensus was that it was ripping off people who didn't know any better to come back and raise the price. Like, I think it's been an acceptable game on mobile. Like, it doesn't have the hatred there. But, like, it was at first hatred on the consoles, and then it was just nobody cared anymore. Nobody bothered.
Exactly.
They knew not to buy the game. Mm-hmm. But they kept putting it out in this very same state. And if you look at the Metacritic, I think it's in the 30s, but only a few outlets bothered to even review it last year because it's like reviewing the same game every year. Well, why would I do that? It's a waste of time. So, I'm surprised to see that come up. I sent you a list of a bunch of sports games that are coming out this year, and then you said, I forgot, RBI Baseball, and I said, oh, yeah, that is a game that will exist. Mm-hmm. So I did not expect it to come up tonight, but I can see why they are trying to do something with it. But, like, mm-hmm. for me, I can't get out of my mind what's happened before, and so I don't even want to give it a chance. That's just me.
New year, new you. One thing. What is the redeeming quality that makes you excited for RBI Baseball this year?
That they're trying something different. Like, I used to love me those WWE games, and I played this year, so I'm like, guess what? They haven't changed anything. They are literally not trying to get this game better. They're just going to keep suckering in the same people that have been buying it for 10 years. But seeing that RBI is willing to that MLB is willing to take the chance and switch to a new dev and try something different on something that I literally would not have cared about 4 days ago. I got to give them some credit for trying to do something rather than just continuing to put out the same thing.
Well, they're going to have to prove it. They better show what they're talking about. They better show it or else nobody's going to believe it. I think that's what it comes down to. Although TJ, yeah, you got time. There's no reason not to, to dismiss it, I guess, completely. Let's just see it instead of hearing it, because they can put it whatever way they want, but they have to prove it at this point. Rich Grisham, number four.
Okay, so number four is the as yet unannounced, but I'm hoping
another
for a new PGA Tour game. I'm not predicting that it will happen. You're asking me if I think it's going to happen. I'm going to say no, but I hope that it happens because I really have enjoyed playing golf video games lately, and none of them have been a PGA Tour game. So that would be awesome because I haven't played the previous one since after the Golf Club came out, and it's been a couple of years. I don't know if it's been 3 years, but it's been a couple of years. And at some point, I will have a 4K TV and an Xbox One X plugged into it. And it'd be kind of nice to have a brand new, beautiful PGA Tour to go on it. So I know it's a stretch, and I don't think it's in any of like EA's published plans. So that probably makes it even more of a stretch. But it's not out of the question that they could say at E3, and by the way, the next PGA is coming out, and it's coming out in June for the U.S. Open. So that's my number four.
All right. Number three, Rich, you get to go again here.
Oh, I do?
Oh, yeah, we're sneaking through.
Wow. Okay. I was not prepared for that.
You're not prepared? Are you working on it right now, Rich?
No, I am. I have it. No, I have it. I'm just saying.
Come to the show prepared, Rich.
I am prepared. Number three is a combination of Tennis World Tour and AO Tennis. I am interested, anticipating them because there have not been tennis games for a while, and maybe one of them could be good. It's possible both of them could be good. It's possible they both could be bad, but I'm anticipating them because they're different, and I'm excited about that. I don't really love tennis, but I am aware of it. And I also don't like, it's not like I have a long history back in the day of enjoying playing tennis games a lot. I dabbled in a lot of tennis games. Probably the tennis games I played the most were on mobile, on the PSP and the PS Vita, which both had great tennis games. Hmm. In fact, I know there's not probably, I definitely played them the most. I did play, some of the popular, Topspin? Played some of those, a decent amount, but it's not like I ever spent a tremendous amount of time with those. So that's my number three.
Awesome. TJ, we're back to you. Number three.
Hey, guys.
Oh, boy.
Number three for me is, we're saying Forza Horizon 4 is going to be a game this year. Is that official? Do we know?
It's unofficially official.
Yeah, I'm going to go Forza Horizon 4 at number three. Again, as I said, don't play a ton on my Xbox. But the one game I have played a ton of is Forza Horizon 3. Really loved it. I'm ready for a new game that looks beautiful. The only thing that will upset me is one of two things. A, really trashy microtransactions. And B, if the game sucks on an original Xbox One, which hopefully it won't. But if it does, that'll kind of piss me off as a original Xbox One owner.
Yeah, we haven't... I don't think any of the games so far, at least, that have been enhanced for Xbox One X have had any trouble on the regular Xbox, but I guess we haven't had any brand new releases that were maybe designed with that in mind first. So
it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it, no game where it's gonna like 100 people jump onto an island and then try to kill each other, because that didn't have any issues depending on which console you have. Just saying. This year I will definitely be sure to do it, whichever way gets me it on Xbox and PC. I'll be out there driving. I'll make a club. We can make a club and go race people for credits and stuff.
Whatever the Forza credits are.
I feel like it is called just credits. But very scared of how they will handle microtransactions. Well, I know there was a lot of stuff around whatever happened with Forza 7, I believe, the last one was.
They probably learned from that. I hope so.
Yeah, we said that after Forza 5, and they did for Forza 6, but not for Forza 7. So that means Forza 8 will be better.
Of course, that Forza proper is handled differently than Forza Horizon. Horizon
That's
has
true.
Had... the DLC packs come out.
Yeah,
I don't think they've ever tried to microtransact you.
Yeah, they have. Like,
they have the car packs and stuff.
You can buy the bar.
Yeah, that's all optional though. Maps. We're talking about like loot boxes.
Oh yeah, no, they're not. That game is not loot boxy. Correct.
Can you buy more spins on the thing? No, right?
I don't think so.
Because they have that wheel that spins that gets you.
They do have the wheel that spins, and it's so fun. Every
they
time.
Can put dollars in that, so. I'm excited. I haven't played a lot of race car games. Like, the last couple years, it's really just been NASCAR and stuff.
Dude, you've been playing the least of all of them. You've been missing out. There's an avalanche of great racing games right now.
Yeah, but I've had Forza Horizon to play, so I've been good with that.
The best, yeah.
So, ready for a new one.
Okay, my number three, I'm going with MLB The Show 18, primarily because I did not play as much MLB The Show 17 as I would have thought I would because of all the server issues. So it's all going to come down to the servers. I'm excited for the show because I'm hoping that I'll be able to play it without having to worry about my results counting or not counting in Diamond Dynasty. So I played a ton of Diamond Dynasty in MLB The Show 16, got to 17. It was not reliable with online where I was losing time, literally lost time, lost progress, and it just discouraged me so much that I did not have the desire to play it very much after that point. So it's almost like I'm going in fresh to the show, and for that reason I'm more excited than normal. And there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in baseball with free agency and everything. Who knows how these rosters are going to shake out in the next month? My Mariners are probably going to be mediocre again, but got some fun new players. You know, they have to make sure that the Mariners are like the cheesiest team ever and have like the fastest guys at the top of the lineup and the bottom of the lineup possible. So I can take advantage of the cheese in the show and nobody can complain about it. Right, TJ?
Right, Brian.
Yeah. I got D. Gordon now. So I'm excited.
You're a second baseman playing center field.
We're real smart. We're real smart up here. Like, okay. That's
Brian,
fine.
Do you listen?
Did
you
they
listen
not talk to him about it? I don't know.
I think they must have. Do you listen to The Wheelhouse with Jerry DePoto?
I actually started listening to that recently. That's an awesome podcast. It's
great show, I love it. Yeah. Great behind-the-scenes look at people who use the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives app.
Wait, what?
That you do, obviously you've not been listening very closely.
Which episode? I just listened to the last two.
Multiple episodes they have spoken about the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives app and how a lot of the GMs use that to decide where they're going to eat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I heard him talking about on the last one tips on where to eat for spring training down in Arizona. But yeah, I guess I missed some of the earlier ones on that. Well, that's a good podcast. Yeah, DePoto's podcast. Check it out. Wheelhouse.
When after you finish listening to this.
Yeah, we don't want you to switch over yet.
Yeah, don't stop right now.
We're not done yet. Who's next? That's Uber. You're up next for your number three.
My number three most anticipated sports game is going to be Super Mega Baseball 2. I think that's coming out.
Oh yes.
This spring, as far as I know.
That is correct.
And I played the first one. I spent a decent amount of time on the first game. The gameplay was so tight. The progression, I love that. It's just super fun to play. And I'm really interested to see what they've come up with now that they've had a few years in development on this game. And so far, the screens and the videos we've got to see, it looks as solid as ever. And if you're a baseball fan, if you're into this, I mean, I highly recommend it. And I think the first one is right now on the Xbox Games Pass. So if anybody listening right now hasn't checked out Super Mega Baseball, now would probably be a good time to try it out and see if you'd like it for season two or, you know, the second rendition of it. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm excited to have another baseball game to play, basically, because other than MLB The Show, I really don't play any other. I haven't really dabbled with RBI baseball. And I really don't play any other baseball games. I don't know if there are any, but Super Mega Baseball, definitely looking forward to that game being back in the rotation.
Awesome. That was definitely a favorite of many of ours. I think that year on the Press Row podcast, Sports Game of the Year, it came in number three, I think. So it had representation there, which is awesome for an unlicensed game from an independent studio. Mills, your number three.
My number three is Madden 19 for one very specific reason, and that is that Rex Dixon, creative designer, tweeted out the other day that franchise mode has had more minutes put into it than it ever has been before. Franchise mode is more popular than it ever has been before.
Franchise Nation.
Yep, exactly. Franchise Nation, CFM Movement, all of you boys, all of them. So my hope is that, I have some feelings that it's going to happen, is that we get the franchise mode upgrade this year that we've been waiting for 2 to 3 years. Instead of minor upgrades and I'm not talking about an overhaul. I don't think that the game needs an overhaul. I don't need new menus or anything, but all of the fixes and everything that we've needed for the last few years, with some new features involved in it, I think that's coming this year. And it's going to link up with my number two, because I think they're going to match franchise mode up with another game in the same studio. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well,
so that's
go
where
right
I really
to your
hope
number
from.
Two then, yeah.
Yeah, my number two is NBA Live 19 for the same reason. I love NBA Live more than I've loved the basketball game in a long time, because it's fun. I have control over my players. It makes me feel like I'm playing basketball when I'm playing it. My guy. But it doesn't have any modes outside of the one and online co-op. The franchise mode is barren, is a nice word for it. The ultimate team mode, while people are still playing it, it doesn't have the depth to keep people involved in it. The ultimate team mode is very scarce, with the exception of, and there's no value to cards. I've said this before, because there are no sets. Once you get a better version of a card, the other card loses all of its value. So for me, I want to see that upgrade into NBA Live 19. I want that franchise mode where the CPU moves stuff around, where we get good, good opposing GM AI, all of that. I want to see that in a franchise mode from NBA Live 19. And you know what? I want to see an Ultimate Team capable of what EA can do with Ultimate Team. EA has shown that content-wise with NHL this year, with Madden, and with FIFA, for all of the crap they get for the way they do it, their content is top-notch. NBA Live deserves that as well, and I hope they get that this year. That's why it's number two on my list.
Yeah, I think it was probably a conscious decision on EA's part to minimize Ultimate Team and franchise for NBA Live 18, just because it wasn't going to compete with 2K in the franchise area, no matter how much work they put into it. And it wasn't going to compete, or actually, you could have made it compete with the other Ultimate Team modes in EA's games, but who was really going to go into an NBA Live game and spend a lot of money on it when they were still unsure about it? So I think those are two areas where they can expand next year with some more credibility in hand that will pay off for the long run. But I think they probably took that approach of coming up with something brand new in the one and trying to tempt people on board that way, and then transfer over the next year into some of those other areas. Uber, you're number two.
So my number two is going to be MLB The Show 19, just because I love baseball, and I really think they're going the right way about it. Having an alpha this year to test the servers. I really think I think they have the finger on the pulse of what we want as a community and what the game should be. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Diamond Dynasty looks like this year, another year refined. It was phenomenal last year, the content they've pumped out, and still, I mean, last 2 years has been really, really good. But yeah, MLB The Show 19 is my number two game. And that's the one that's probably coming out the soonest of all these games on the list. I'm not sure. Super Mega Baseball doesn't have a release date yet. But yeah, MLB The Show is going to be my number two, high on the list this year. Once again.
All right. My number two, for similar reasons as MLB The Show was my number three, but as far as not having played as much of it, but for differing reasons for why that was so. My number two is Madden NFL 19. I didn't play Madden 18 nearly as much as 17, because in 18 I loved the story mode. I loved the long shot story mode, but 3.5 hours and you're done. And I think I did that in one day, or maybe it was 2 days as I was working on my review. After that, the game just felt a little too familiar to me. So I think we're going to see that differentiate itself better this year. As Mills got into franchise mode, I would tend to believe Rex more than their PR department and marketing department as far as what they've done for franchise, because they tend to oversell what they've done for franchise every year when it's been minimal since 2012 or 13. So I'm excited for what we may see with Madden, and I'm especially excited because I have an Xbox One X, and Madden plays and looks so much better on the Xbox One X than any other PlayStation Pro, even. I'm excited to see and get to take advantage of that for the full year next year, and hopefully play it a lot more than I did this year's Madden. TJ, you're number two.
My number two echoes Daniel's number three. I'm going with Super Mega Baseball 2. Hopefully we get some more info on that soon. Again, huge fan of Super Mega Baseball, the original. I mean, me and Rich played it. I think I'm pretty sure me and Rich were the first people to ever play it outside of the studio when we saw it at PAX oh so many years ago. We liked it from then. I like what they've done with the changing the bodies to be a little bit more realistic in the videos they've shown. They're adding customizable leagues. Looks like they're going to have more online play options this year.
Actually, online play options overall.
Yeah.
It had no online play in the first one, yeah.
You know what? I think that was when I first started trying out. Cause did we try playing that with the share play or something?
Yeah, I think we did.
That's what we tried to do.
I don't remember if it worked well. It may have been too laggy to do.
Yeah, I think it was okay if you didn't have the ego up too high. Like, mm-hmm. if there was a bigger hitting window.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had a lot of fun with that game. I just like to have, I like to have something to break me out of the, you know, super serious MLB The Show, Madden, FIFA games. Just something to come back and have a little fun. I didn't put NBA Jam on my list just because we don't really know if that's a real thing or just people talking. So Super Mega Baseball and NBA Jam would kind of fill that role for me if those come out this year. Hoping that we get some Super Mega Baseball news real soon.
Awesome. Rich Grisham, your number two.
My number two is not Mario and Sonic at the 2018 Pyongyang Winter Olympics. Although if that were a game that were going to come out, it would be. But for reasons I'm sure are completely economic, that game is not a game that's being made. Or if it is, they're really late because I think the Olympics start in like 2 or 3 weeks. But my number two is Mario Tennis Aces. I love my Switch, as everybody knows, and I really have just continually been delighted with every Nintendo-produced game on the platform. And I don't know a lot about, is the developer Camelot on this one? Because I've heard people say Camelot related to this game. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that or not. I'm not familiar, but I've heard, I think Camelot might be like a second party developer. So I don't know.
I believe that is true.
Okay. So I don't know if this is like an officially Nintendo developed game. Clearly it's a Mario game, so it's heavily licensed. But anyway, long story short, I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to play some co-op with my son. Could be a lot of fun too. So that's also another reason I'm looking forward to it. It could be a dud. I know the Wii U Mario Tennis game is thought of as a dud by everyone I know who's played it. I never even did play it. But that's my number two, Mario Tennis Aces. So I actually have somehow three tennis games on my list, which is strange.
Yeah, we're going to get your number one here, Rich. Let's recap your list. Number five was a rumored NBA Jam. Number four was the hope of a EA Sports PGA Tour. Number three was the combination of Tennis World Tour and AO Tennis. Number two was Mario Tennis Aces. And your number one?
My number one is Super Mega Baseball 2. TJ mentioned it. We've known the guys, Scott Drader and Metalhead Software. We've known them since they first made their first demoable version of it available to the public. And TJ, do you remember how terrified those poor guys were when we started playing their demo? Because, you know, it wasn't exactly, I mean, it looked great, but like it was something that they had been working on up until I think 20 minutes before we walked up to it. Remember that?
They might have still been working on it while we were discussing with them why we were there.
I think they were doing builds and compiling exactly as we were playing it. And I've met Scott a couple other times at other conferences and stuff, and we've interviewed them, you know, on Hit the Pass, and they've been on the Press Row podcast. Like we've got a long time relationship. I'm rooting for these guys. They work so hard. It's amazing the amount of time and dedication that those guys have put into making this. And I'm just rooting for them. And it's easy to root for them because they're really nice guys. And Super Mega Baseball, too, I am positive is going to be a really good game because Super Mega Baseball was a really good game.
And remember, it got extra dev time because it was originally going to come out last September and they pushed it back.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they were horrified to have to push it back. And I'm sure at the same time they were delighted because, you know, it gives them time to do. You know, we've talked to you know, the Rocket League guys and the Disc Jam guys on the show, right? And they told us stories about how, you know, they had to ship and, you know, it wasn't sort of exactly what they wanted when it first launched. But they kept working and working and working. And And so I guess the Super Mega Baseball guys are like, you know, no, we're not going to ship. We're going to make it right. So I'm rooting for him. I'm pulling for him. I know it's going to be great. I'm not worried about that at all. So that's why it's my number one most anticipated game this year.
I'm shocked, Rich, that your list did not include a Pro Evolution Soccer 2019.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be whatever.
I know.
But I am going to buy Pro Evolution. I'm going to buy MLB The Show. I'm going to buy Madden. I'm going to buy NHL.
Of course.
I'm going to play FIFA. I'm going to buy NBA 2K. I'm going to play NBA Live. And I say I'm going to play FIFA and NBA Live because I'll at minimum play them through EA Access, right? And who knows? By this time next year, EA Access could be like the Xbox Games Pass, and you just get them without worrying about it after 10 hours, which I think is going to happen. But I'm going to buy all of those. I'm looking forward to them. I'm going to play all of them. But to me, in for this kind of a discussion, anticipation is somewhat about the mystery or the unknown. I know what I'm going to get from all of those games, the licensed games, and I'm looking forward to it, and it's great. But as far as anticipation, I'm definitely much more intrigued as to what are these games going to deliver that are on my list. Will I like them? Will I love them? Will I not like them? Will they be good? Will they be amazing? Could there be just a pure gem out of there? So, you know, like,
sure.
And it's funny. I was at one point thinking of saying, well, whatever 2018's golf story winds up being is my number one most anticipated game. But that would be silly. But like golf story turned out to be, in a lot of ways, my favorite game of 2018, much less sports game. So, you know, that when I say anticipation, like, you know,
sure.
It's the unknown and something that could potentially be really delightful.
Totally get that. TJ, your top five started with all major licensed sports game, annual sports games at number five. RBI Baseball 18, I guess it would
controversial.
Be.
Controversial. Yes.
Yeah, controversial pick right there.
I know. Sometimes they say it's RBI 18 and other places it's RBI Baseball 18. I'm very confused. They need a good branding, like when MLB The Show rebranded.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, Out of the Park Baseball, which can't get its number right.
Stop it. It's the 19th edition.
And you can head over to OTPdevelopments.com today and pre-order.
That's right. Hey, just announced.
Forza Horizon 4 was your number 3. Super Mega Baseball was your number 2. Your number 1.
Now, this might be cheating. And I'll let you decide. And if it is, I don't really care. Last year, a little game went into early access on PC and released.
Yeah.
But coming out, I believe the summer of 2018, it will be coming out to the PlayStation 4. And that is
Fire I love you.
Wrestling World.
I love you so much, TJ, right now. Yeah. I can't. I love you so much.
Extremely excited for this. I played it in early access on the PC. I played a little bit more after it came out. Love it. I remember playing Fire Pro. It was just called Fire Pro. I think it was called Fire Pro Wrestling D on the Game Boy Advance. Very, very good, very polished game. And then coming out this summer, they're partnering with New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're going to have a story mode. It's going to take you through winning the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. This is the first time they've ever had licensed wrestlers in it. So I'm very excited about all this. As I said earlier, the WWE series has completely let me down. I want to say WWE 14 might have been the last one I really enjoyed. And that's before they even went to the 2K branding of the game. And I not a lot of my friends play PC games, and definitely not a lot of my sports friends play PC games. So with this coming out to the PlayStation 4, I know I'm going to have a bunch of friends that are going to be getting it, and I am extremely excited to be playing it. Hopefully the character creator on console is going to be as strong as it is on the PC, because I know they have a great community of people making characters for those games. So I'm very excited for Fire Pro Wrestling World on the PS4 coming, I believe, sometime this summer.
Yeah. Good pick, TJ. I included that in my DMs to you with the others that I thought that one would probably make your list. So that's very cool. Let's go through my top five. Started with NBA Live 19, Tennis World Tour at number 4, MLB The Show 18 at number 3, Madden NFL 19 at number 2. My number 1 has been covered a bit already, actually quite a bit already, and it's Super Mega Baseball 2. The original was fantastic. It was very well designed, and it was more of a sim than an arcade game, despite the cartoony look. It had that great ego difficulty system, which was one of the best new features in sports games that year. Now they have the opportunity to flesh out their feature set, and they're refining the visual appeal. And I think it's going to be probably in there for contending for Sports Game of the Year again. Very excited for that. Hopefully it'll be out in March. They don't have a date set yet, but they did say they're going to have a beta for it, which will be awesome as well. Give people the opportunity to try it out even early. So I'm very, very looking forward to Super Mega Baseball 2. That is my number 1. So now we move. Uber, we started. Your number 5 was Madden NFL 19. Number 4 was Mario Tennis Aces. Number 3 was Super Mega Baseball 2. Number 2 was MLB The Show 18. It's time for your number 1.
My number 1 most anticipated sports game for 2018 is going to be NBA Live 19.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I feel of all the AAA sports games, that is the one that probably has the most room to grow. And I really enjoyed what they did with NBA Live 18. I still play it daily with my buddies. And I think, you know, they put a lot of resources into marketing for NBA Live 18. I don't think I think they're going to they're putting a lot of energy into NBA Live 19. Like, I think the game is here to stay. I don't think it was a one off, or it's, you know, I really don't think it's going to be a lackluster follow up performance by them. I really think they're going to just keep adding to the game. And like I said, it probably has the most room to grow of all the major sports titles coming up this year. So I'm really excited to see if they refine Ultimate Team a little bit. They definitely there's a lot of places for improvement, but they're off to a great start. I really think they're heading in the right direction. And as Mills mentioned earlier, I definitely echo that sentiment. This is the most fun I've had playing a basketball game in at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. So really looking forward to what NBA Live 19 is going to look like come this fall, I guess.
All right. Thank you very much. Mills, we're on to your list now. And I misplaced a game somewhere along the way as I was tracking this. So you started with number 5, Mario Tennis Aces / Potential Mutant Hockey League. Then number 4, did you go MLB The Show 18?
Yeah, number 4 was MLB The Show.
And then was number 3 Madden?
Yep, number 3 was Madden, and then right on to number 2, which was NBA Live for a lot of the same reasons.
Oh, okay, NBA Live. That's the one I was missing. So there's your number 2. Now finish this up with your number 1.
So my number 1 is a game that I don't believe has been mentioned by anybody tonight.
Oh, wow, okay.
But for very good reason, because for most people, they're going to say, well, how do you make the game better? For me, it's NBA 2K. Mm. And the reason for that is I feel like this was a down year for NBA 2K overall. That doesn't mean people can't have fun with it. That doesn't mean that the franchise mode isn't rightfully the best that's ever been. That doesn't mean
it's not selling like gangbusters more than ever.
Exactly. It's the number, with the exception of FIFA worldwide, it is the number one, or it's the number 2 sales in sales. 100% correct on all of those fronts. NBA 2K excites me for two reasons. Number one, I've become an esports fan over the last year. Like a huge esports fan. I'm a Houston Outlaws fan for the Overwatch League. I watched all of their games tonight. I'm actually watching one of the videos as soon as we get off this podcast. I've become a Madden Championship Series. I follow that intensely. The NBA 2K League is starting in the spring, and from all that I've heard and seen of it, it's going to be the most professional sports esports league we've seen. It's going to be unbelievably awesome. They're going to house these athletes. They're going to train these athletes. This is going to be an actual league being played on video games. Even to the point where they're doing Combine right now, or getting ready to do Combine.
Soon, yeah.
Yeah, one of the lead scouts said on his Twitter, flat out, do not play five out, because that's the meta in Pro-Am right now. Do not play five out, because that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for you to go one-on-one with everybody. If you decide you just want to score 40 points and play no team basketball, you're not going to get picked. We're looking for people that can play team basketball and adapt to being on a team atmosphere. That being said, the other reason it excites me is because I just didn't like the gameplay this year. There was so much of the gameplay. I've made mention of this podcast multiple times, the defensive issues. And I feel like the small things that are not right with the game that are causing my greatest annoyances, I feel like I'm nitpicking more than ever. And if I start nitpicking, that means they don't have as much to fix to make a great basketball game. And I really, of all the games that I play, I need an NBA game that I can play franchise in, that I can play the gameplay. And that's why I'm hoping NBA 2K really fires back this year gameplay wise and just knocks it out of the park and becomes the single best sports game ever.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting set of number ones here, where we had two Super Mega Baseballs, a Fire Pro Wrestling World, an NBA Live, and an NBA 2K. I think it does go to show, you know, we're all looking for advancements, and it's either going to come from games that have a long way to go, or games that are trying to recover from a stumble, or whatever it is. We're looking for something to excite us, right? So I think all of those games have the potential to do that, really. And so that was it's a lot of fun, I think, counting down our top five. We should revisit this at the end of the year.
Yes.
And see which ones lived up to what we had hoped for.
Yes,
which ones
yes.
never released, which would be like half of Rich's list.
Exactly. Good point.
And how much TJ regrets putting RBI Baseball on.
Yeah, but I covered it with my number five pick, having Austin. Literally all the games. So
that's true.
With the hate. All Austin the games, with the hate.
All the games that turn out to be really good will have been on TJ's list somehow or another.
Hashtag winning, hashtag blessed.
All right, thanks, guys. That was a good time. So we got Richard Grisham. You got anything you want to talk about here at the end? Anything you want to promote?
Out of the Park Baseball 19, officially announced today, available for pre-order, 10% off, early access. Go to outoftheparkdevelopments.com. You'll see it right there. We are incredibly excited. We're going to have a whole launch stream party going on, which TJ will be heading up with army. Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about that? No.
Well, now I have work to do.
We can't wait. We're so happy. We're so excited. It's so much fun and so incredibly complex to do this stuff. And it is a blast and a terrifying situation at the same time. But we're having a great time. And Out of the Park Baseball 19 is officially coming out on March 22nd.
Right. TJ, that sports gamer, what you got going on besides that? Anything?
Yeah, just copy and paste everything Rich said. Yeah, just getting ready. As you know, I am that baseball gamer to a lot of people, and we're getting a lot of them coming out soon. So I'm excited to be doing a bunch of streaming, making a bunch of videos everywhere /thatsportsgamer. You can find me. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great year for video games, great year for sports video games, great year for baseball video games. So let's all be excited. Also, big congratulations to Chipper Jones getting the Hall of Fame. 93% of the vote, 96% of the vote, something crazy. Only 12 people didn't vote for him. Those 12 people deserve to have their votes revoked forever.
If Griffey can't get 100%, nobody's going to get 100%.
What, Griffey came too short, and one of them was the guy that didn't vote at all, right? So
yeah, that's right.
So he should also have his votes revoked.
Yeah. It's unfortunate Edgar didn't make it in. It looks like he will next year. But real quick, TJ, what was your opinion on that? Because I've seen Spore a few times, I think, going over like some of his stats and stuff and how that relates.
Yeah, he's really good. I guess put him in. I don't love him, but that's probably more East Coast bias than anything.
Yeah, you know, if he had his career on the Yankees or the Red Sox, he would be in by now.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think next year he gets in. Getting four people in this year, and not a ton coming up next year. I want to say like the big name is Rivera next year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, I forget who it is. I think we talked about it on that of the Park stream last night. I think there's like one other guy that's probably going to go in first year. But yeah, I think getting four in this year really opens it up for Edgar getting in next year. Yeah. Though I do still think he's going to need someone to really champion him, kind of how Jonah Carey did for Tim Raines last year.
Yeah.
I think Tim Raines got the jump last year that he needed, that Edgar would need for next year. So it's possible.
It'd kind of be fitting. Mariano Rivera, I believe, said the toughest batter he ever faced was Edgar. So if they go in the same year, it'd be kind of cool in getting in that way. So thank you to Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber, who had to leave us. I think he's just not answering us, so we're going to thank him. You can find him Uber YouTuber everywhere except Twitter, I think, where it's Daniel Basil. It says Twitter. Mills, what do you want to talk about here?
What's going on, guys? I want to go ahead and get you guys to check out twitch.tv/SnaggleJ, SnaggleJ. Great streamer. He's been streaming Fortnite lately. He has a Madden franchise where he moved a team to Columbus. I believe it's called the Columbus Caps. I think he's in year 4 or 5 already. So awesome drafts. Engages with the chat. Check him out. And also the EA Madden NFL or the Madden Championships of this weekend, January 26th at 4 o'clock on the Madden, all the Madden channels. Check it out. Give esports a chance. Well, give sports esports a chance. You might enjoy what you see. Like, really try to figure out what's going on. I think you should definitely give it a shot. See what you like, what you don't like, and give some feedback on it, because they're always looking to grow.
All right. Thank you to everyone who came on, spent the time, come on, talk about all this. We will be back next week with another episode of the Press Row podcast. Take care till then.